Just as a show of hands, how many are currently dealing with or facing a sickness? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, you know, God is good. And I think I want to talk to you about a healing message today. I had something totally different. And while I'm sitting here, God is like burning healing in my heart. I mean, we could tell about how Jesus rode on the donkey and people praised him and they said, Hosanna. You know, when he was riding on the donkey, they said, the king is coming. I'm here to tell you today that the healer is here. How many know that we have a healer in the house? Amen. Say that with me. Say, there is a healer in this house. Not the building, but this right here. You're the house of God, right? And I'm going to give you a message that I had heard from another minister many years ago. He was actually one of my instructors. His name is Doug Jones, and he taught, when Brother Hagin was traveling, Doug Jones would teach his class, and when Doug went to Rhema, he lived with Brother Hagin for the first 4 years. He was his crusade director. So how many know that a message from God, it doesn't fade? Amen? I mean, you could use a word that was spoken then, you could still use it today, all right? So on this Palm Sunday, we're gonna talk about healing. And I had a totally different direction. So someone say, praise the Lord. I want you to go to Acts chapter 10. And you have to understand, when God heals someone, I want you to think about, what does God give when he heals? He gives something. He makes something available. That something is already there. Okay? And Acts 10, verse 38, gives us an indication. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Everybody, look at that word anointed. All right? You know what the anointing does? It destroys yokes and removes burdens. And how many know that sickness can be a yoke? It can be a burden. It can be a heavy weight. I mean, first of all, sickness is a thief. All right? Why do I say that? It steals your time. It steals your money. It steals your energy. Sometimes it makes you goofy. All right? But sickness takes from us. Okay? God is not the author of sickness. Amen. He's the author of life. Sickness came into this world when sin occurred. And it doesn't mean that because you're dealing with a sickness, it does not mean that you're a bad person. It just means we live in a fallen world and our bodies are susceptible to this, but God has an answer. God has a solution. Okay? So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Say, with power. So what he did with the anointing, the Holy Ghost, and power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So what God gives you when he heals someone is he gives you power. He gives you anointing. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you life. He changes the situation, okay? Nothing else may have worked, but Jesus works every time. Everyone who came to Jesus, everyone who came to him received a miracle. They received power. That power went into their bodies, and that power transformed their situation. Amen. Our God is a God of power. Hallelujah. All right? Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Let's look at verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching. Why is teaching important and connected to healing? What does teaching give us? It gives us the Word of God. And when the Word of God comes to us, what comes to us? Faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So today, you're getting faith to receive power from God. Okay? And as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And what was there? The power of the Lord was present to do what? To heal. How many believe that the power of the Lord is present here? Right? Yeah, I may be teaching, but we're gathered in Jesus' name. And he said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, he said, there am I in the midst. Okay? So, God gives us power. All right? Let's go to Luke 6:19. Uncharted territory. I like this. Look at verse 19 of Luke chapter 6. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him. And what? That word virtue is also another word for power. All right? Same thing with the woman with the issue of blood. You know, she had this thing for 12 years. She spent her money on doctors, but it didn't get better. But one day she heard something. And what she heard made the difference in her life. What she heard gave her faith. She said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be healed. I want you to notice that statement. She didn't say maybe. She didn't say if. She was fully convinced, fully persuaded. And that's how we have to be. If you want to receive God's power, you got to be fully convinced, fully persuaded, all right? And when she touched him, virtue, the Bible says virtue went out of him. Where did it go? It went into her. And what did it do? It healed her body. It stopped the flow of blood that could not stop for 12 years. It stopped the hemorrhaging. It stopped the disease. And she knew that she was healed within herself. How do you know you're healed? You'll know. Amen? Okay. So we know that when it comes to healing, whether it's a physical condition, whether it's an emotional problem, how many know God heals everything? Amen. He made the body, he can fix the body. He made the mind, he can fix the mind. Now, here's a statement that I'm going to make. God has no problem healing cancer of the brain. But God cannot do anything about cancer on the mind. What do I mean? When cancer's on your mind, it becomes the topic of every discussion. It becomes the guest at every gathering. And you then take ownership of it. This is my iPad. We talk about our sickness. Why? Why is it yours? Okay, let me ask you this question. If the UPS guy knocks on your door and gives you a package that you did not order, that you do not want, that you have no desire to do, what do you do? Do you receive it? You say, return to sender, you know, send it back. I don't want it. I don't want to receive it. And that's what we have to do with the devil. When he tries to give us things that we don't want, we just simply refuse and say no. Amen? Okay, so what does God give? He gives power. Okay? How does God give? How does God transfer his power from him to you? Okay? You know, God's got a lot of ways that he could transfer power. But a way that was used often and used a lot was through the laying on of hands. All right? I want you to look at Luke chapter 4. And once again, this was not my message today, but I believe that it's going to benefit some people today. Amen? Luke chapter 4. And let's look at verse 38. And he arose of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Okay, this is Peter. And Simon's wife was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. Okay, what do we see here? Okay, Jesus comes to his house. All right? There is a woman with a great fever. Okay? And I want you to notice, they begin to beseech him. They begin to seek him. They turn to him. They inquire of him. They ask him. Okay? Maybe she was too weak. We don't know. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. I love that. You mean Jesus spoke to the fever? Absolutely. How did he treat the fever? He treated it like an enemy. He treated it like an unwelcome guest. He rebuked it. To rebuke means to correct sternly or strongly. Just like he rebuked the wind. What happened when he rebuked the wind? The wind said, "Yes, sir," and stopped blowing. When he said, "Peace, be still," the waves stopped moving. When Jesus speaks, whatever he's speaking to has to obey. Now, if Jesus can speak to a fever, what does that mean for us? You can speak to things that are in your body that you're dealing with. You attack it with your words, with the word of God. It's like wielding a sword. Become a spiritual ninja. And take the Bible in your hand. I was going to talk about a nice message on meekness today. But you know, sometimes you got to fight. There are times to fight. Hence the fighter in our family. The fighter's cheering me on. Oh, praise God. What happened when he rebuked the fever? It left her. And immediately she arose and ministered to them. Now, in this case, he didn't touch her. He just spoke to the fever. Notice he didn't even say, "How you doing?" He didn't say, "Oh, how can I help you?" He just rebuked the fever. "Can you heal her?" "I rebuke you, fever." Okay, that fever left, all right? Now, when the sun was setting, you got to think about this. Jesus may have went over his house for dinner, and before dinner, he's got to heal Peter's mother-in-law. See, I'm like Peter. I love my mother-in-law. All they that had sick with diverse diseases brought them to him. He didn't even get time to eat dessert. And he laid his hands on every one of them and what? Healed them. Why? Hand is a point of contact. When you're instructed by the Holy Spirit to lay hands on a person and you do, that's all he needs. Someone is just, he needs someone to obey, because he wants to transfer something. Amen? He wants to make a deposit into your account. What do they call a direct deposit from heaven? When hands are laid on you under the anointing of God, there's a direct deposit that comes into your account from heaven. And it wipes out all insufficiencies. It deals with all thieves. And it makes new. Go to Mark chapter 7. You enjoying this? Mark 7. And let's go down to verse 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they brought unto him, one, I want you to see that, they brought to him. How many know you got to go where Jesus is? Amen? The bringing unto him in itself is an act of faith. Coming up and getting hands laid on you is an act of faith. Amen? So when you come up today, know that power is going to be given to you. It's going to come to the laying on of hands. All right? So they brought to him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him. There it is again. They beseech him. They beg him. They were petitioning him. Pleading with him. Okay? To put his hand upon him. Why? What difference? They wanted Jesus to put his hand upon him. Same thing that Jairus said. Jairus said, Jesus, come and lay your hands on my daughter and she shall be well. You know, every believer has a right to, everybody hold up your hands for a minute. I want you to say this. Say, these hands are holy hands. I can lay these hands on the sick and they shall recover because I'm a believer. Amen. You can put your hands down now. But don't put your hands on a person unless you really believe. Well, let's just see if this works. No, he doesn't do that. You've got to be persuaded. You've got to be convinced that when you lay your hands on someone, God's going to take that and use it mightily. Amen. I mean, when I worked for a Freightliner, there were times when I prayed for the mechanics. They were sick, and I'd ask them, I said, can I just pray for you? I'd just lay my hands on them and just say a quick prayer. When I worked at the bank, people who were sick, I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? I'd take them in the back and just pray for them just real quick, lay my hands on them, and then leave it up to Jesus. Amen. So, Jesus took him aside, verse 33, from the multitude. You know, sometimes you got to get away from the crowd. Because there might be voices that are faith putter outers in the crowd. You know, God works a lot in atmospheres. And sometimes you got to create the right atmosphere for God to work. He inhabits the what? The praises. So maybe if you need God's presence, maybe you need some praise going forth. For he needs something to inhabit. give God something to work with. I mean, sometimes we take the position as if it's all up to God. God will heal me if he wants to. Well, didn't Jesus do God's will? Didn't Jesus go about healing people? So did Jesus do God's will? So he went about healing people, so it must be God's will. Amen? And I want you to know, these people were coming to Jesus. These people were calling on Jesus. All right? It's not just up to God. If that were true, does God want every one of us saved? Then how come everyone is not saved? It must not be all up to God. God did everything that was necessary, everything that was required. He provided us with everything, but we've got to choose Jesus. We've got to call upon Jesus. We've got to receive him into our heart. That's our part. If you want to get healed, you have a part in it. It's already God's will. It's just that we've been programmed to think the wrong way about it for so long. It becomes habit. We magnify sickness without thinking about it. Because the world says there's a season on the calendar, they call it flu season. Why don't we have a healing season on the calendar? Can we do a little test here? Okay, don't raise your hands, just shout it out, all right? When you come to a traffic light, what do you call it? Why do you call it a stoplight when you go as much as you stop on it? Why? We're programmed for the negative side of things. We don't even think about it. But the negative just comes out in ordinary things. The light is green as much as it is red, although we don't think so sometimes. But it's true. We don't say, go turn to that green light down there. We always refer to the stop. And I used to do that too until I took this test several times. Thank God for open book tests and retakes. So he brought this person aside from the multitude. He put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. So you got to think about this. Jesus has got his fingers in the guy's ears. He spits and he touches his tongue. He didn't wash the finger from the ear to the tongue. I guarantee you, Caleb, you will not read that in any AMA publication. As a treatment to heal deafness. Put your fingers in the ears, spit on the ground, and touch the tongue. Look at verse 34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. He made a command. What I discovered in the Gospels, healing was never a request when Jesus. It was always a command. Pick up your mat and walk. Stretch forth your hand. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Always a command. Never a request. Would you please go wash in the pool of Siloam? Jesus never said that. Why? Because his words produced life. He understood who he was and the power that he was working under. So Jesus put his hands on people in a lot of cases. You know, he can use the gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is gifts of healings. I had my first healing service when I was in Fiji. I was part of a team of seven people, and we traveled to the island of Fiji, and then we went to New Zealand, because one of the guys that was on our team, he was from Fiji. His father was the overseer of the Church of God there at that time. And we were in this village, and I had to preach through an interpreter. And throughout the years, God has used me mainly to get quick results regarding respiratory problems. And I preached that day, that night, and there were seven people that came up and responded. And the one lady got healed, and she just, her breathing was just different. I'm going to tell you another story. I used to work at a truck stop. I was a short order cook. And one day I was just there. I wasn't working. But there was another worker there, and him and I were talking. We were sitting across from each other at a table. And he said, you know, he was holding his head like this. I said, what's wrong? He said, I've got this headache. He said, this migraine, and it was extremely painful. You can see the expression on his face. And I said, let me pray for you. And so I just touched him, and I just prayed, and he looked at me like this. I said, what's up? He goes, it's gone. The pain is gone. See, too many times, the devil lies. He uses sickness as a tool. He tries to tell you that you're unworthy. He tries to tell you that you're not good. He tries to tell you that you don't have this, you don't have. Guess what? He's a liar. You know, God has a different report. Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the devil's report, a liar's report? You're going to believe the report that your body says? Yeah, your body is saying something, but it's a fact. It's not the truth. But the truth will change the fact. Okay? So what does God give? He gives healing power. He gives power. How does he give it? Through the laying on of hands, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, through the spoken word, through all kinds of ways. All right? Why does God do this? Because our God is a giver. His very nature, for God so loved the world, he gave. James 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Ask God, who gives to all men, how? Liberally, and abradeth not. He doesn't hold back when God gives. You've got to know that God is a giver. What does he give? He gives power. He gives good things. He gives grace. He gives help. He gives strength. He gives restoration. He gives opportunities. Our God is a giver. He loves to give. He loves to give to you. Our God is a lavish giver. He's given us everything. So God is a giver. He gives us richly all things to enjoy, 1 Timothy 6:17. Now, how does he give richly? What does he give all things to enjoy? God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to have a rich, full life. And he's come to give us life. All right? So he freely gives us all things. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You know, we studied 29 reasons why it's God's will to heal. And I just want to give you just a couple of them. Obviously can't cover 29. All right? Don't have enough time and you'd be overwhelmed. Sometimes you just have to kiss it. You have to keep it simple, saint. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So he's taking something that Moses did way back in the book of Numbers, when people were complaining and they were murmuring and grumbling because the way was difficult, and they started to complain. And how many know that God just appreciates complaints? No, I'm just kidding with you. God doesn't appreciate complaining, because when he hears people complain about things, he takes it personal. You read the story, when God would have a conversation with Moses, he would say, why are they complaining about me? When they were complaining about the food or Moses and Aaron, but God said, why are they complaining about me? And we heard a large gulp just go across the crowd. So their complaining brought these fiery serpents that were biting people and killing people. Okay? And they weren't stopping, so God spoke to Moses and said, put a serpent on a pole and lift it up. And as he lifted it up, people were to behold it. It was not just a glance, but they were to look at it, to be mesmerized, so to speak, by it. And they were to look at this serpent lifted on the pole, but everyone who looked to the serpent was healed from the snake bites. So to get rid of the snakes, you had to look to the serpent that was lifted up. Well, see, God's ultimate plan for salvation was to lift Jesus up on a cross on the earth. He was to lift him up. And when you look to Jesus, when you look to Jesus who's lifted up, you find healing, you find salvation, you find goodness, you find God's love. This was a type and a shadow. Okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for changing my plans. I'm glad. Look at verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that is, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Well, Christ is our Passover lamb, right? What did they pass over? They passed over death, and they passed into life. The Passover came about when they were in Egypt, and Moses was instructed by God to kill a lamb and to take that blood and to apply that blood on this side. Okay, you had to apply the blood here, you had to apply the blood here, and you had to apply the blood here. And when the spirit of death would come, he would hover over the houses, and he would see the blood, and once he saw the blood applied, he would pass over. Death could not come to where the blood was applied. Death could not cross the bloodline. Death could not penetrate the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. And when death saw that blood applied, death would come to the house and can't come in here. You can't touch this. You can't affect me. Why? They were covered by the blood. That was a physical portrayal of what happens spiritually. You need to cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. How do you apply the blood? You say what the Bible says about the blood, about your situation. You apply it to your heart. If you made a mistake, say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me by the blood of Christ. And that blood will cover that mistake. That blood, you won't even be able to recognize that mistake anymore. It'll be so covered by the blood. And when God looks at it, all he'll see is Jesus. He'll see you covered by the blood. But see, types and shadows. Things that the Old Testament did, they pointed directly to Christ. Jesus did not come to do away with the law. What did he do? He came to fulfill the law. Jesus did everything that the law required. And these things in the Old Testament were pictures of Christ when he was going to come. They had a portrait, all right? Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. I want to give you some encouraging words. You know when Abimelech met Abraham? And Abraham said, "She's my sister," which really got him into trouble more than protecting him. And Abimelech took Sarah. You know, no one harmed her in any way, but they could have, but God prevented it because Abraham was stupid in that moment. Thank God for God's grace that covers our stupidity. Okay? Well, every woman in Abimelech's household could not have children because God was protecting Sarah. And they could not have children until Abraham prayed for them. When Abraham prayed for them, healing took place and their wombs were opened up. So my point in saying that is that healing is from Genesis to Revelation. This is chocked full of healing power in this book. All right, Exodus 15. I'm just going to spend the last few moments. I want to encourage your faith. All right? I want to really rev your faith up. Okay? Verse 26. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. That's really important when it comes to healing. You can't go necessarily by what you know. You got to go by his voice. Because Jesus did not heal everyone the same way. Why? Because he was listening to God's voice. God told him something specific for each individual. With this person it was different. Why? He was hearing God's voice in every situation. All right? If you're in a situation and it's not working, take a moment to hear his voice. Maybe he'll give you a different strategy. Maybe he'll show you where you've been missing it, and it's like, oh yeah, now I see it. Now you can make the connection. All right? So you got to diligently hearken to the voice. You got to listen really good. Of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight. Okay? I mean, you got to live it out. Faith is a lifestyle. All right? And will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For, notice, I want you to say, he didn't say I was. I am the Lord that heals you. When we start taking the I am and say he was, we don't have any right to do that. We should never take the I am and say he was. If he was the healer there, he is the healer today. He will always be the healer. I am. I am the Lord who heals you. Not healed you, but heals you. It's ongoing. God knew what sin did to this world. Sin corrupted this world. So God had to change it. But he is the Lord who heals you. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is, right now, he is the healer. See him as your healer, just as much as you see him as your Savior. Amen. Go to Psalm. There's a lot that I could fill in with these, but I'm giving you a booster shot. Psalm 103. This is probably one of my favorite ones, personally. You've heard this before. Verse 1, Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, sometimes we just need to bless him. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I get excited about benefits. What are some of the Lord's benefits? Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Did you know the same power that forgives you is the same power that heals you? It's no different to God. Whether he saves you or whether he heals you, it's done by the same power. It's done according to God's plan. Okay? Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I'm almost done. Can you hang on for just a couple minutes? because we're going to pray for you. We got to unleash the power. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are what? We are healed. When do we get healed? When he took those stripes. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Praise God. Matthew 8. And I want to see what verse I want to go to here. Oh, no wonder I'm in Mark. Thought it was looking strange. Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You got to get this picture. Jesus in Matthew is healing people based on what Isaiah said thousands of years before. Isaiah declared him as the by your stripes he's healed. So Jesus is healing people to fulfill that scripture. He's healing people. He's touching people. He's delivering people to make that word a reality. Now go to 1 Peter 2:24, and then we're going to finish. 1 Peter 2:24. Now, Isaiah is looking before Jesus came, okay? Isaiah is looking into the future. He's seeing the stripes being put on his back, okay? In Matthew, Jesus is here doing it to fulfill what Isaiah said, okay? Now, Peter is talking. He's looking at the work that was done on the cross. He's looking back at the cross because the cross had already occurred. And 1 Peter 2:24 says the same thing that Isaiah says. By his stripes, you were healed. So both Isaiah and Peter are looking to the cross as to when your healing occurred. And the way to get your healing is just come to where the cross is. See, the cross is just it's just the receipt that says your bill was paid in full. See, the cross, it enables you to enjoy the benefits that you didn't have to pay for. The cross is just a symbol of God's love that said, I paid your debt that you didn't know. He said, I paid your debt. I didn't know it, but you won't. I paid it. So the cross was just where the payment was made. And if payment was made, you can enjoy the benefit. The benefit is yours to receive. The benefit is yours to have. The benefit is yours to enjoy. It's no different if I was to take you out to dinner and say, let's go to Shady Maple, and you go to for your wallet, and I say, no, 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 it's on me, and I go to the cash register, and I pay the bill. Do you just sit back there and say, I wonder what I could take? How many would go to Shady Maple if someone paid their bill and just look at the buffet and say, oh, I wish I could partake of this? Would you do that? No, if you paid my bill, I'd be getting a plate or a tray, and I'd be marching up to that line, and I'd be filling that sucker. But that's how we gotta be. Your bill's already been paid. You don't owe the devil anything. You don't owe the thief anything. He can't extract. He can't put a lien on your house. He has no power. He has no authority because your debt's been paid. Isaiah was looking to the cross. Peter was looking back at the cross, and they both said the same thing. By your stripes you are healed. By your stripes you were healed. If you are and you were, then you is. You is right now. But you got to embrace it. The same way that you confess Jesus as your Savior and he came in and he saved you is the same way that Jesus, your healer, comes into you and saves you. For those of you that were dealing with sickness, it's your time. And even if you weren't dealing with sickness, never hurts to get a touch from God. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that we can be led by your Holy Spirit. And you have the most awesome plan. And Lord, we just humbly follow your plan. And I'm here as a servant today, Father, to deliver your message to your people. And I thank you right now that your power is present to heal. In Jesus' name. We thank you for your power, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. God wants you healed. You got to read 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Well, how does your soul prosper? Your soul prospers from hearing the word. Once you've heard the word, you got to make an action. So it's time to act now. You've heard the word. God's going to give you power. It's going to come through the laying on of hands. He does it because he's a giver. He loves you. He wants the best for you. Amen? So you just need to come up and receive today in Jesus' name. Just make your way up. You gotta believe. You gotta possess it. Healing is here today. He'll heal your broken heart. He'll heal your body. He'll heal your emotions. His goal is he wants to make you whole. I declare in the name of Jesus that the enemy will stop stealing, stop tormenting, and stop hurting these people in Jesus' name. I call them free. Free indeed. Free indeed.